Hello, and welcome to today's service at Lugano Peakhurst Uniting Church, the fourth Sunday of Lent. My name is Greg Mackay, and I'll be leading the service with you today. Today's theme is taken from one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. Our speaker today is Keith McLeod, and I'll let him outline what that verse is for us. As we progress through the Lent period, on towards the cross of Easter, let us consider the journey Jesus undertook through the words of Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he took upon us our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us in so many different ways. We pray as we come before you today that you will open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us, but also that we will listen and put into action the things that you are saying to us today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to hear our first song, Above All.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world is there. Treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind.
Hello, my name's Alan, and today's Bible reading comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
The theme of our message this morning relates to the meeting between Jesus and Nicodemus. In order to get the full gist of Nicodemus' meeting with Jesus, we need to look at the first 13 verses of John 3. And in verse 2, we find that Nicodemus sought out Jesus to speak with him at night. This in itself may seem very strange, as Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin. This group was the most powerful religious and political body of the Jewish people, including the decision to request Pilate to send him to be crucified. It is apparent that Nicodemus was one of the few religious leaders who believed in Jesus, and later joined with Joseph of Arimathea to assist him in burying Jesus' crucified body. Jesus then tells him that he must be born again, otherwise he will never see the kingdom of God. Jesus then spoke about the Old Testament incident about the bronze snake on a pole to illustrate how the new birth takes place. The bronze snake represents Jesus, and bronze in the Bible represents judgment. The pole represents the cross on which Jesus was lifted up and crucified. The death of Jesus on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice by God for the redemption of humankind, and demonstrates God's love for us more than any other event or action in Scripture. Likewise, John 3:16 is probably the most important and complete verse in Scripture. One thing we have to realise is that God's love for you and I was entirely unmoved by anything in us. What was there in us to attract the heart of God? Absolutely nothing. I trust as we look at today's passage, we will come to a better understanding of what God did for us in Jesus.
With all my heart, I worship you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. My message today is entitled, For God So Loved the World. Let us pick up on Jesus' initial discussion with Nicodemus from chapter 3 and verses 1 to 13, before launching into the verses from today's reading. What we know about Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee who was attracted to Jesus by his character and miracles. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the few religious leaders who believed in Jesus. And he joined with Joseph of Arimathea to assist in the burying of Jesus' body. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. In spite of all his learning, Nicodemus did not recognize Jesus as God in the flesh. Jesus' answer does not seem to be connected with what Nicodemus had just said. What he is telling him is, Nicodemus, you have come to me for teaching, but what you really need is to be born again. Otherwise, you will never see the kingdom of God. He also tells him that physical birth is not enough, and there must also be a spiritual birth if one is to enter the kingdom of God. This new birth is brought about by the Holy Spirit. Jesus uses the wind as an example. He says that no one can explain the wind or the working of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Spirit's working in people's lives can be seen and is on display in the body of Christ here. Nicodemus is still puzzled and asked, How can this be? Jesus answered that as a teacher of Israel, Nicodemus should have understood these things. There is no doubt that Nicodemus would have had a thorough knowledge of the Old Testament. But like most Jewish leaders of his day, they refused to believe Jesus' testimony. He then tells Nicodemus, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak on heavenly things? He then concludes that only one person was qualified to speak about heavenly things, since he was the only one who was in heaven, lived with God, and came down into the world. Let us now look at today's reading. Verses 14 and 15 tells us that as the Israelites wandered through the wilderness, they became discouraged and impatient, and complained against God. He responded by sending venomous snakes. The people were bitten and many died. When the survivors cried out to the Lord, God told Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole. The bitten Israelites who looked at the bronze snake lived. Jesus spoke about this Old Testament incident to illustrate to Nicodemus what he must do to have the new birth take place. The bronze snake represents Jesus, and bronze in the Bible represents judgment. Jesus was sinless and should never have been punished, but he took our place and bore the judgment of God, which we deserved. The pole represents the cross on which Jesus was lifted up and crucified. The death of Jesus on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice by God for the redemption of humankind, and demonstrates God's love for us more than any other event or action in Scripture. People who are not followers of Jesus today live with their unconfessed sin. They can choose to say as they are, or alternatively repent and turn to Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, Part of the gift of salvation is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This Spirit of God works to bring all believers to a deeper and fuller knowledge of God, His love, and His plan for their lives. Let us now look at God's love for us. Selwyn Hughes once wrote, When the Bible says God is love, it is saying much more than the fact that God loves, or that God is loving, or even that God is lovely. It is saying that the love is the power behind everything He does. Love is not merely one of His attributes, but His whole nature. God is not only the author of loving acts, He is love in the very core of His being. Nothing in us can give rise to it, and nothing in us can extinguish it. There is no human reasoned argument to explain the love of God for his people. He loves because he loves. It has been widely claimed that the entire gospel is encapsulated in verse 16. And indeed an acronym for verse 16 is G-O-S-P-E-L. It was love that motivated God to send his son to die on a cross in our place. That doesn't mean that we are saved by love, but only by grace through faith. God loves all people and does not willingly want any to perish. However, this does not mean that everyone will be saved. We know that God loves the sinner, but hates their sin. Anyone who thinks that God doesn't view sin in a most serious manner needs to take a fresh look at what happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, at his trial, and on the way to and during the crucifixion. Jesus was flogged, spat at, mocked, bore a crown of thorns on his head and was asked to carry his own cross to Calvary. He also experienced total separation from God because God allowed him to bear the full punishment for our sins on the cross. God loves all of us with all of his love. The only restriction is how or whether we receive it. We certainly do not have to convince God to love us. God's love is never given in exchange for our efforts. You and I may ask, what was there in us to attract the heart of God? Absolutely nothing. All the works in the world by themselves will not get us into the kingdom of God. When we seek forgiveness, God will give it freely and unconditionally. God has poured out his love by sending his Spirit to live in our hearts and teach us how to love as he loves. We can love because God first loved us. Through God's word, the Holy Spirit reveals the love nature of the Father in us. God's will is his love will be the distinguished mark of every follower of Jesus. In verse 17, some people might see God as harsh and anxious to pour out his anger on humankind. However, the opposite is the case. He sent Jesus here not to condemn the world, but to suffer, bleed, and die in order that the world might be saved through him. As Jesus' representatives, we too are not to condemn, but to be his witnesses in order to share the good news with unbelievers. Let us now look at the consequences of rejection of Jesus' offer. In verse 18, Jesus has finished his work of salvation on earth, and now it is up to each individual to decide whether they will accept or reject him. If we have come into relationship with Jesus, we should never feel condemned. If, however, we prefer the darkness of our own sin to the light of salvation through Jesus, we choose to bring judgment upon ourselves. In verses 19 to 21, Jesus is the light who came into the world. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. In him, the difference between light and darkness, good and evil, is clearly seen. We either come into the light of Jesus for cleansing or remain in the darkness of our sin. Darkness here describes the environment of evil, not evil itself. Why does evil like darkness? Because it hates to be exposed. Why does this happen? Because God has left a remnant of his character in each one of us called our conscience. When we hear the word of God being expounded in our lives, we become exposed. Once we come into God's light, we see that every action of our new life is only the result of God's work within us. On a personal note, I would like to relate an experience of God's love, peace and healing at work in my life. Many of you here today have probably never heard what I'm about to tell you. In early 2012, I went to see Sam Maher, my GP. He diagnosed that I had had a heart attack and I was admitted to St George Hospital for a scheduled double bypass surgery. Prior to going to the theatre, I prayed to God for a successful operation, for healing, for his peace to come upon me, and finally I handed everything over to God. Instantly what came over me was a peace and assurance of his love that everything would go well. I woke up in intensive care following the operation. I spent 2 days there and 3 days in high care, after which I was discharged from hospital. A couple of days later, I saw Sam and he told me to stop using the highly addictive Endone ASAP and instead get over-the-counter pain tablets. Not only did I dispose of the Indone tablets immediately, but I never took any further painkillers. I experienced no further pain from the operation and resumed working 4 weeks after I came home. May God be given all praise and glory. What is God saying to each one of us this morning? Jesus said in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This verse is a great summation of who God is and how much he loves every one of us. We see love at its highest when we see it in the life and ministry of Jesus. God's purpose in sending his Son into the world was positive. He wanted people to believe in him and ask Jesus to come into their lives. In other words, be born again by the Spirit of God. The choice is ours to make. Let us pray. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for anyone here today who may be seeking you in their lives, that your Spirit will touch their hearts with your love. I pray that the things we say and do and the messages preached here will be a living and vital witness to the community around us. May our witness be the reason people seek to know Jesus as Lord in their lives. May we as a church always seek to do what you want us to do, and always seek to meet the needs of those who as yet have no knowledge of you. Amen. Let us worship and praise God by singing, humming, or listening to the second song, Love Divine.
Good morning. My name's Kerry. I'm doing the prayers for others today. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today to share together in praise, worship and learning more of you. All of us have blessings of various sorts to praise you for this week and challenges we need you to help us with. The rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine began and we pray that it's going to save many lives and protect all of us. We thank you for enabling researchers and medical people from all over the world to develop the vaccines. We pray for Ilung and Chun as they enjoy a short break. May they stay safe and healthy. Families planning to attend mainly music and messy church are in our prayers, as well as those who are making preparations led by Natalie, Jan and their teams. We also pray for the Christian Women's Convention being held this weekend with leaders like Denise. Some of our members require extra prayer, Lord, as they deal with loss of loved ones and various medical issues. We especially think of Peg Hankin, June Elliott's family, Val and Harry Stroud and Amy's family who recently lost Tim. And we pray for Bob Windham, Joan Jordan, Ruth Ponier, Graham and Margaret Walters and others struggling in different ways. We pray for our church council being led by Pamela, for the members of Georges River Presbytery led by Richard, and all levels of administration of the Uniting Church. Our government and civil leaders also need your protection and encouragement to seek your ways and to be reliable and trustworthy in all they do. Lord, you know and love this world, so please continue to lead us according to your will. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Just a couple of announcements for our information. Firstly, our mainly music ministry is back on again and it starts at 10 a.m. every Monday morning here at the church. Also, our first messy church for this year is to be held at Everett Park in Lugano on Sunday the 28th of March. There'll be a scavenger hunt and there'll be other lots of games and things like that to play. Details are up on the screen. If you'd like to attend one of our services, you're most welcome. However, you will need to register. Contact details for registration are on the screen.
And now the blessing. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages now and forevermore, until Jesus comes. Amen. I hope that you have a very blessed day and week. Laurie will be leading and bringing the message next week. I got no worries.